Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to another episode of But Am I Wrong?
Yes, but am I wrong?
Together, we're gonna tell people who's wrong. I don't know why I feel the need to like do a different like.
I didn't know. I thought you were trying to be kin.
God damn it! You are coming through with like the good fucking idea, and I'm like, that is not what I was trying to do. But I wish I got there too. You know. Hey, Barbie.
I'm just kidding. Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Welcome, Barbies, to But Am I Watching? And what are we watching today?
Barbie, the movie.
The movement, the life-changing encounter, and the defining moment of my life and the internal monologue of people across the world.
Oh, yeah. It really, really hit you there.
It hit you right in that, right in the feminist. Mm-hmm. Hit you right in the woman.
Right in the cooch.
Right in there. Right in the areola.
So I watched it for a second time, as did you.
Well, let's not go that far. I did try and watch it for a second time without my meds, and I fell asleep. So, but to be fair, the amount of bonus content that I have watched from, I feel like I know everything about this.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it at the premiere, and I realized that I missed about half the movie because people were being too loud at the premiere cheering for everyone.
I can guess one other person who's being too loud. The one you've beef with.
I know.
Okay. Just want to make sure people knew.
They don't know who.
No, but they can keep guessing. There was a pink carpet.
Yeah, people being loud. So I fully loved it the first time I saw it. And then the second time I saw it, I was like, I missed a lot of things that were here. Things that were valuable lessons. And I enjoyed it even more.
I saw it like weeks after, and obviously this was during the strike, so we didn't talk about it, but I saw it in like the most LA way, which to me felt so fucking fitting for Barbie. I saw it in downtown Los Angeles on a rooftop for like a rooftop movie. And the great thing about that, which I was like so grateful for because I didn't even think about it, is you wear headphones. And so one of my things that annoys me about watching comedies in the theater that I also still love, and we talked about Dix the musical, it's like, I love the infectious laughter of like hearing everybody else laugh, but sometimes you can miss things with that. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, Barbie, for Harry Potter, for Marvel movies, things that people are really anticipating, they'll cheer and shit, even if it's not the premiere, which I can't stand. And so as soon as like it started and we had the headphones, and then I could adjust my own level, which I was like, I could see Dunkirk in this condition. I can never see one of those movies in a big theater. But it was like watching the sunset while watching Margot Robbie just stun on our screens. Oh, I was like, this is Los Angeles. This is Hollywood, baby. Like Hollywood weird. And I loved it. And immediately after, I texted Melissa and I was like, this movie is my entire personality. Like this movie is my new favorite movie. I love everything about it. And as soon as we left, I texted Matz's mom and dad, and his dad is not a movie guy. He only wants to watch old films. I always make the joke, and I was like, well, is it in black and white? Because he's not gonna see it. And I was like, sir, you have to take the missus to Barbie. Like it is actually an immediate need. And then I started sending all of these articles from like specific publications I knew he liked, and I did all of this. And then about two weeks later, they send me a text, a selfie of them, and the marquee behind them says, and then I told Matz's brother, and I was like, you know, I got him to take her to Barbie in theaters. And he was like, you're kidding. And I was like, no. And she also loved it too. I think that's like one of my favorite parts about it, is that like, once you've seen Barbie, like you connect with women on a different level. You're like, and I have to share with other women in my life, like, you have to go see this movie. Like, this is everything. This is so much.
Yeah. It's multi-generational too, because we love it. The older people love it and the children love it. I'm going home a whole week earlier than I would be going, because for one of my nieces' birthday, they're doing a Barbie party. And I was like, I got to get in there. I got to get my costume.
What are you going to dress as?
Also, I'm going to share you. I'm going to President Barbie, of course.
Good.
I'm going to share a website with you if you want to get some Barbie costumes just to have, because they are like $25 because it's not Halloween right now.
I actually do just want to have these costumes on hand. Yes. You're completely right. So send that along.
You could just wear them. Like, no, I would just wear them in the brunch and the dress.
Hi. Yeah. Hello. It's me. Hi, Barbie. Wow. I was going to say, did you see I think it was on Twitter or something. I'm not sure if people talked about it, but that scene when the kids are at the table at lunch and she walks over, that they're supposed to be dressed. They're supposed to represent like Bratz dolls.
Yeah. Their names are the Bratz dolls.
It took me a second. And I was like, genius.
And then Bratz, have you seen Bratz reply to it all?
Saying like, sorry, we're slutty. Because I love a Bratz doll.
I don't know. I mean, since it's been weeks now, I don't know if I can find it. But the Bratz TikTok is
brutal. I don't doubt it. While you do that, I will explain to people what this is. So we normally do But Am I Wrong, where we tell other people when they're wrong, we share our hot takes and opinions, and we also talk about like celebrity pop culture in the, you know, and categorizing into who we nominate for the worst of the week, worst of the all time, you know, all of those things. But we also have a wonderful little variation of this show called What Am I Watching, where we review movies and TV shows, sometimes ones only one of us has seen, other things that are just like very popular and things that we love. And we took a hiatus during the writer strike and the SAG strike because we're in those and we don't want to lose those things. So we did a little acceptable SAG compliant one when we did Dick's musical. But besides that, we haven't done it in forever. And the literally the strike came at the same, like the time right before
it was Barbie the day after. It was the day after the premiere was the writer strike.
And it was like, we kept saying, like, I wonder if we're going to be able to get the episode, a But Am I Watching episode in before strike is a thing. Because, like, we all knew that it was coming. But, mm-hmm. like, when it officially happens, let's see. And so we did miss that. But now we're back and we're ready to talk about it. So we're going to, I mean, the format of this shifts kind of with whatever we're talking, with whatever content we're watching. So we can have hot takes of our own or our thoughts and feelings of our own. And takeaways, and then we will read other people's. And for this one, everyone had lots of opinions that we solicited on our Instagram, and then we will each nominate our worst of the movie or the worst of it all. But don't worry, there's not much.
Yeah, I can't find it.
That's okay.
But they essentially made a video of the dolls that are the ones that they're parodying, mm-hmm. walking into the movie theater, and then like going to, like, they were going to see Barbie, but then they're like, nah, we're gonna go see something else. And I was like, come on, it was paying homage. It wasn't being mean in any way.
No, I mean, I think they do a beef because I'm pretty sure Barbie sued Bratz for making that, yes. like, and it was like, you don't, this is giving like the Fine Brothers being like, we're gonna trademark the word react. And it's like, you mm-hmm. actually can't do that. Like, you don't own dolls.
Yeah, but you know. Barbie was also in beef with the Aqua. People that sang, yep, Aqua. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. But they still got a feature,
mm-hmm.
a remix.
Remix! It's impossible not to do that when you hear that word. So, do you have a hot take?
Or I do have a hot take. And I just want to say this that I really love this movie, if you didn't already know. But my hot take is Too Many Feet, almost on the same level as another director that I will not name, who was controversial, but it was too much feet stuff in this movie. We saw feet from the very, like, you know, I can understand the iconic stepping out of the heels and Barbie feet still being in the same shape of the heels, but then we got feet so much, and I hate feet with a passion. And I don't want to see anybody's toes. And I was seeing too many toes. And they were popping up left and right when they didn't need flat. I understand the flat feet part. Yeah. But other than that, I didn't need to see anybody's toes. I did like the joke, though, when they go into human world and she's walking in heels and goes, I don't understand why anybody would wear heels when your feet aren't made like this.
Yeah, true.
I thought that was funny. And a fact. And because I went flat feet for 2 years while we were stuck in our house, I can no longer wear heels the same way that I used to, which was every day. But we didn't need all that feet stuff. This movie is full of references to other things, and I didn't know if she was trying to reference, if Greta Gerwig was trying to reference.
It's not Greta. You know who's purposely doing it? Margot Robbie, the foot fetish community is obsessed with her feet because she's in a lot of that man's movies where he is obsessed with feet, mm-hmm. and he loves her feet. And there are, you will see almost every Margot Robbie movie has like barefoot, like that kind of stuff. And someone asked her and they were like, so do you? And she goes, no. But I just, people really like I'm going to get the viewers. Like, I know if there's a draw for that. She literally, like, she has made comments about, like, it's very clear that, like, she understands that the foot fetish community really likes her. I swear to God, I was like, I'm sure she, like, when she told Greta, she goes, we're going to need a couple more feet shots. Like, people love my feet. And I'm telling you, it'll get them in the seats. It'll get them talking.
They knew I was going to be there anyway. And they were like, yep. We don't need, like, less feet for her. But for these people that probably won't come see the movie, let's get some feet in there.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Uptake those the SEO, get more people taking screenshots, you know, circulate that.
Yeah. So that's my hot take.
Well, as someone who also doesn't love feet, I didn't need it, but I understood why she did that. And I love pandering to people. So I have a couple of hot takes. One, the marketing budget was 100% worth it. And
yes.
It was like $2 million or something. Like, the marketing budget was more expensive than the budget for the movie. No, not $2 million. It was like $20 million. Because I was like, that was not a $2 million movie. It's a two something, whatever it was. But the marketing, but like the whole budget for Barbie overall was pretty much split 50-50, like production and marketing, which is unheard of. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were like, well, Barbie sells itself. Like it's Greta Gerwig and it's Margot Robbie and it's also Barbie. So like you don't need to do that much. But I think it was fantastic and great. I think all of the collabs were fantastic and great. And I think because of that, they were able to make so much money in merchandise that they were then able to keep the very like targeted Mattel jokes because Mattel was still stacking the cash. And I think if it had been a less of a marketing budget and less of like a push for physical product, I don't think that we would, there would have been as much leeway and freedom with the script. So I think it was well worth it.
And they made a meta joke about that in the movie where there's the one guy that's always on his iPad trying to see how much money they're going to bring in. And it was referenced a few times, but mainly when America Gloria was like, why isn't there just like a regular Barbie? And it was like, nobody would buy that. And then the marketing guy was like, actually, everyone would buy this.
Yeah. Like, I just thought it was great. And I really hope the social team for Mattel got such big bonuses because they're vastly underpaid and they did so much. My other one is, it's too short of a movie. I would love to see
it was extended 2 hours long.
I know, it's too short. It's not enough. I need more. Like, I just need more. And I think it was edited perfectly. Like, I don't think they cut anything. Like, there's a lot of times you'll watch a movie where you're like, this makes no, you should have kept, you know that they always film far more and they have to cut for time. Mm-hmm. This was one that, like, I could just watch it. Like, I can play it as soon as it ends. I'm going to just start watching it again. Like, it's a perfect movie, but I wish I could watch it forever. Like, I wish I closed my eyes and it was on the back of my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, which I'm not going to elaborate on, Simu Lee was well casted. Second, my third and final, is the only thing missing from this movie was Trixie Mattel. That is the only thing that was missing.
I said the same thing. I was like, where the hell is Trixie?
Yep. I desperately need to know if it was, it had to be scheduling conflicts because there's just no...
I just feel like Trixie would make it happen because even Issa... playing President Barbie, there was some scheduling conflicts and like there's scenes where like she's, you can only see her in like one shot and they filmed around it. I feel like they could have made it.
So the only thing that for Trixie where it could have been scheduling conflicts is depending on her contract at Netflix and her contract at is Discovery where her renovation show is, because if it's a streaming platform, sometimes in your contracts, they're less likely to approve something like that's a studio that's like a direct like that's that, so like that's the only thing I could think of is like it's a scheduling conflict on top of that. It's like she's in the midst of filming something that she can't get out of because it's for also for media in that sense.
Yeah, but still they should have given her like something where she's like,
was she at the premiere?
No, she wasn't there.
This just in, Mattel hates Trixie Mattel. That's
I have photos. I don't think she was at the...
Literally, if you Google Trixie Mattel Barbie movie.
Oh, no, she was there. She was there.
Okay.
Yeah, I do remember. I think I have a picture of her on my phone. Yes, she was there.
Yeah, devastating. That was like the thing that... And maybe like release the DVD with an extended cut and that's the scene. Like, like Trixie's in the scene.
Yeah, I can just... Like, they could have just filmed something real quick and inserted her. Like, what's his name? The wrestler. That you don't like.
I'm warming up to him. Okay.
Okay.
I am warming up to him.
He was literally just on the lot. He wasn't originally supposed to be in the movie at all. And Greta was just like, do you want to come do this scene? And they just stuck him in. And he got, and I don't know where he went because his wig looked better than what's her name?
Dua Lipa's.
It was like, Dua Lipa who stepped on my heel leaving the premiere.
Did you say
it
thank you?
Like, and it looked like it was growing out of his scalp. Like, I don't know who did his weave, but
no,
it was great.
It was phenomenal. There's also something to be said about when you've got that short hair or that bald head, the way that that wig will lay down and just seamlessly blend in. It's gorgeous. It looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
I did really love that. But yeah, I would think that there would have been something at least like just a little bit like that. I don't know. Maybe it's like that they don't want to endorse because her drag name is Mattel. Like that it's like, but I don't know.
But they, yeah, I feel like there, it was meta enough because there were so many other references in here mm-hmm. that if this was just a straight, like a G movie, that it would never would have made it to this.
Oh, yeah.
Like movie references that were parodied in this film.
Yeah. I think you're right that it could, it maybe not even in the movie, but in like a cameo or in the real world. That would have mm-hmm. been really funny. Mm-hmm. Like having Trixie in the yeah. real world.
And then her passing by and being like, my influence.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or having Trixie Mattel in a meeting at Mattel. Like that yeah. would have been funny too.
Yeah. And even like if it was in the real world and they're just passing each other in Venice and it's just like, we just get Trixie and just get
Margot
Barbie. And you, it didn't have to be filmed at the same time, but we get yeah. it right.
So,
but I agree you with know, you.
If I get a little oracle, that's one of the three questions I'm fucking asking. Like, why wasn't Trixie Mattel in the movie? Because there has to be a reason. Mm-hmm. And whatever the reason is, it was not good enough and she should have been in it. And that's all of my hot takes. That's really all
I
of
do
them.
Have other thoughts that aren't necessarily hot takes that I just want to share. Why, when they went to LA, why weren't they in Malibu? Why were they in Venice?
Logistical. Where are they fucking going to film Malibu?
It doesn't matter. They could just say.
They could have just said it was Malibu. Yeah, yeah. It's true. Because, yeah, people think that's what Malibu looks like. Yes. But, like, truthfully, like, Malibu is homes. Like, there's nowhere yes. you could do. And there's no way you're getting a filming permit for the Malibu pier. No. But, like.
I filmed there stealing shots.
Yeah. But also, like, you don't want. There's nothing. It's there's just nothing stores. There.
It's
like,
just.
And restaurants.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you could have just said. Because they're also saying that you can walk from Malibu to Century that's City sad. In 2 seconds. I am too. And then also that the Barbie headquarters was in LA. Barbie headquarters is in El Segundo. Uh-huh. Like, that's where it is.
Yeah, but no
so
one's.
That's why I'm saying, like, they could have just said.
Movie magic.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Century City got name dropped multiple times because yes. for anyone who does not live in LA, like, I can't stress to you how just random that is. Like, just yes. Century. Like when I tell
Century
you, like,
City is just business.
It is
plus the
my
mall.
Old agency and the mall. That is the only thing that's there, and a car dealership. Like that's literally it, and it's just so funny. It's also for anyone who doesn't know, for downtown LA in a lot of movies, it's Century City with their shooting. Mm-hmm. Like it's that's because there's not so many one way streets.
Yes,
but that made me laugh so hard. But you're right. I guess yeah, Malibu. I think I thought that walking out of the theater too. That I was like, we're just not gonna get. Malibu, but Venice is funnier comedic wise and people aren't necessarily going to know that that's not Malibu.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Because they think we were like, we're at the Barbie headquarters and it was, they literally had a picture of the Hollywood sign outside of the headquarters.
Mm-hmm. I do love the movie magic of LA because I'm like, these are LA people referencing. Like, I wondered when walking on the movie, I go, do you think people who don't live in LA, everyone who's seen the movie loved the movie. I need them to move to Los Angeles for 5 years and then watch mm-hmm. the movie again and see how much fucking funnier it is. Like, I was like, yes. thank you, Greta. Like, I just feel so seen in this that we're just referencing so much Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. It was so good.
One of my other just thoughts and feelings, the Billie Eilish song, did it win a Grammy?
It's or is been it just nominated? They haven't had the, yeah, they haven't had the ceremony yet. Everything's been pushed, you know?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It needs to win. That song makes the movie. Like, I think it is one of the best. I struggle with, like, I love a song written for a movie. Most of the time it's like so clearly for the movie and you're like, this is just a little this one, it like encompassed like the feeling you have from the movie. And Mark Ronson produced the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Mark Ronson is a very great producer, but what I think he did really, really, really well is he was like, I need women writing and yep. singing these songs because if fucking Maroon 5 made a song for, it would not be the same.
No.
And like this to me, it was like, oh, wow. Yeah, you. And I like that they had different ages of people who were writing uh-huh. these songs. And so like you really have like a early 20s person like Billie writing it. And it was just so fucking good. And the use of it and the fact that they changed to make the like orchestra, like the instrumental kind of like piano, little dude, mm-hmm. and like having that sprinkled in to like really build that crescendo of like the full song was just so beautiful. And like, we've said this offline, but I'm like, this is a movie that in film classes should be taught in the sense of like, yeah. nothing was missed. Like everything through all
design.
Of it. You can analyze every uh-huh. single thing about it and find more things. Like this is what English teachers think certain books are like when they're like, now what does this represent? What is this color? And it's like, no, we're grasping at straws here. But this is one that like, it is so complex. And then there's also things that are so simple and just straightforward. But all of it together is like the most harmonious version of a movie. Like this is, in the words of Harry Styles, this is a movie that feels like a real movie.
Yep. I was with some friends and there were a couple, like actually just one Gen Z person that was amongst the millennials. And they were like, I don't understand why they didn't use, I thought they would have went younger with the cast, like late teens and early 20s. And I was like, what? Like you're going to miss.
Barbie has a doctor.
The whole,
she's a whole woman.
Barbie, we have a president Barbie. You can't be president until you're 35. You'll miss a lot of the meaning behind things if you would have went younger, because the whole point was like, even when you're an adult, like there are things from your childhood that you still need, even when you have your own child, like you'd miss all of that. It wouldn't be the same at all.
Well, brats are young. That's like the whole thing, that like Barbie's a career woman. And in order to be a career woman, she's had, think about how many careers she's had. She's had trips around the, truthfully, Barbie should have been 107 years old. Like I would have been a little more accurate, like age wise, for everything that she's done. And she would need a time turner necklace from Harry Potter. But like, yeah, like I think that the generational aspect of it is played really well. And because Barbie is technically like ageless, you have Gloria, America Ferrera's character, you have her relating to her daughter, but then her being like looking at Barbie as a Nick, like looking at Barbie as if Barbie is like a mentor or older than her, but like not in a sense of like, oh, I look up to you, I was obsessed with you, but like not saying that Barbie is permanently a teenager and therefore when she ages up to be above Barbie, it's like, no, this is this ageless, like infinite kind of being that will like always revert you back to girlhood, which is incredibly nuanced and also relatable, because we all have the like those things that just take you straight back to that. Like you don't ever age above it.
Yeah. And even like that scene where she's like mad that she's getting cellulite, and then she goes, I think it's like 10 minutes later, she goes, and when they're in Venice, wherever they are, and there's and she's sitting on the park bench and then sees the elderly lady with wrinkles and all, and she's like, you're so beautiful, and she's crying. That's the moment she becomes an empath, when she's looking around and it's like she's accepted. And then, you know, once we get to the end of the movie, she wants to be a real woman. So accepting those things about yourself, you're not gonna get that with the 18-year-old.
And so that scene too, because I've watched every featurette and interview about this, that was like the one scene, that the hardest one that they were trying to cut. And Greta Gerwig was like, no, the movie doesn't make any sense without this. Like, this is the movie. This is the meaning of the movie. And it's like a lot of these guys at like corporate, and they're just like, no, I just feel like it doesn't make any sense. And she's like, it doesn't matter. Like it makes, like without this, like the movie is nothing. There is no point to make the movie without this. Like, it loses everything. And they just like couldn't understand it. And then now that it's out, and it's like, well, also this is why we need more women working in those jobs. Yep. But like you see that afterwards, and it's like, it is the whole crux of the film, of like what it means to be like human, what it means to be alive, and like the aspect of aging of that, like, and the generational parts of it is like, you have a young person who's looking at this thing being like, oh my God, you're so like out of touch and like not cool, and like I don't like this, I'm way cooler than you. And then you have this, the character Barbie, like looking at these older women of being like, wow, I want to be like you, this is so cool. And then by the end, you have the younger character being like, actually, I want to be like you and I want to be like me, like this is really cool. And that is the point of aging. And again, like you're right, we wouldn't have been able to have that at 18 or even a little bit older than that. Like you need those frontal lobes to be fully developed, especially because like Barbie doesn't have frontal lobes yet. Like Barbie's it's just air up in there until the end. It's just I don't think those heads are not solid, because you can squish them.
No, you can squish them.
I remember doing that a lot.
And that's why all your Barbies are weird Barbie. What was your first Barbie, do you remember?
I didn't have that many Barbies. I know my favorite Barbie was a gymnastics Barbie that I named Emeka after the pop star in Rugrats.
I remember. Yep.
And I like that one because I did gymnastics growing up and dance. So I like that I could make her like do walkovers and do like all that kind of stuff. I didn't like the Barbies who like just like couldn't really move. And then I definitely had the pregnant Barbie, and where you like with a magnetic stomach and then there's a little baby in it and you could take it on and off. And I'm sure my first Barbie was like a yard sale kind of old one. And then I also remember I had like either a winter Barbie or a millennium Barbie that like I wasn't allowed to take out of the box, which I thought was so stupid. My cousin, she had all the Spice Girls Barbies and she wouldn't take them out of the box. And I was like, bitch, what are we doing here? Like, take them out. Let's fucking play. I was like, what the fuck? And she was older than me. And I, to this day, I'm like, did you sell them? Like, what did you do with that? So, but those are the only ones I really remember having. And then I had a Teresa, but I didn't have I didn't have that many Barbies. I don't know if they were more expensive or it was more expensive than what we could afford, but like, or they just didn't want to. But the ones I had, I like loved, but I was like, my Emeka one was like, she was my girl. Mm-hmm. It was really just that was the one. And I had some Bratz. I had a Bratz motorcycle.
See, I was too, by the time Bratz came out, I was a teenager.
I love them because their heads were so much bigger. And so their makeup was fucking cool because there was more space. There's more real estate for that makeup. Gorgeous. What was yours?
So when I was little, it was hard to find a black Barbie. It's much different now. But Chrissy was the black Barbie. So I had Chrissy was first, and then I had a bunch of them there. And I was looking at the end of the Barbie movie. They showed the original Chrissy and she has a fro like mine. I was like, I need one of those too.
Cute. Plastic or did they do the synthetic?
They did synthetic hair.
Yeah. Ooh, I would love to see that.
Yeah. If you watch it at the end, it's there. Oh, like they show different Barbies, which the end of the movie with I gotta talk about. They have what is his name? One of the Kens. I'll talk about it after I talk. But the Barbies that I had the holiday Barbies, which I wish I still had those. I had like the special edition Barbies, a lot of those. And then I went through a phase where I'm like, I don't like Barbies. I'm not playing with Barbies, but then I would just sneak and play with them.
Yep.
It was just for show. Like now as an adult, I have like two Barbies that I took out because of the movie. I took out of my closet because they were sitting in the closet and I was like, now I'm putting them up. So I've got President Barbie and it's the one that says like first all female ticket because it was when Hillary was running and they thought that she was going to win. And so
I love Barbie's faith.
And so now I have that one behind my book that Issa Rae bought, and then I have Director Barbie, which is behind my directing book. So
I love that. I want to go to the store and like see if there's any cute Barbies and just like buy them. Like I want a Barbie.
Me too.
Their clothes are not nearly as chewable as Polly Pocket clothes, but I'll take it.
How did you
I don't know, definitely Polly Pocket clothes.
They were so tiny.
Well, I was also somewhat smaller.
Choking on them.
I mean, I've definitely ingested some microplastics, but like I ingest microplastics every time I floss my teeth. So yeah, but I would love to get some more. Like I always just thought they were so like pretty. Like that was like the thing about Barbie. It was like just so pretty. But I was also very picky about the outfits. And because like I didn't have a lot, anytime I was getting one, I would like, I need her to come with multiple outfits because this is important to me. And then if you lose a Barbie shoe, but the little pink pumps, oh,
it's over. Who keeps the shoes? You kept the shoes?
It was no, they're pretty much as soon as
they, unless they were the boots that came up, they were gone immediately.
I tried so hard to keep track of all the amount of times I've just lost anything with Barbies. Any hair accessories gone. Anything gone. But I was like, this might be surprising to some people, or maybe not. I was the exact opposite. Like internally, I am a weird Barbie. The way that I looked at people who deface their Barbies with drawing on them or cutting their hair or doing anything. Like I was like, no. Like my Barbies, like I was so meticulous about like, no, not a hair can be out of place. Like their outfit has to be on all right. Like if someone's wanting to wear a different pair of shoes with the outfit, I'm like, no, that's the wrong thing that is not supposed to go with that. And it's like, oh, why don't you cut the Barbie's hair? Like, oh, this would be really cute. I'm like, I literally never. Like no. I would rather die than doing anything like that. And to this day, like I still could never do this. I couldn't even like fold pages in books or like people who highlighted books. I was like, those aren't against the rules.
Either. I don't like
against
that the either.
Rules. So I never did that with weird Barbies, but we all had friends who did that.
Yep. Melanie did it and I'll get mad.
my friends whose parents divorced early were always the ones who were like, let's make our Barbies have sex. And I was like, what's sex? Like, let me tell you. And I was like, damn, children of divorce are learning about this shit way faster. And then very quickly we all learned about it, because then I think we almost all became children of divorce. It was just funny.
And then I just wanted to talk about, at the end, they showed, well, we saw them in Weird Barbie area, Sugar Daddy Ken, and who was part of the Palm Beach Gold, but he was Sugar. I don't know who was on the Mattel team that was like, yeah, this is what we need to do, because Sugar was the name of the dog. And so he was his dad. So they called, so it was like a nickname, Sugar Daddy Ken, because of the dog's name.
What?
And then we also saw Earring Magic Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, this is why you need diversity in the room, because he was made based off of pictures that they saw of like gay guys. And well, they didn't, I don't know if the people that knew that they were creating Magic Earring Ken, that they were taking pictures of gay guys, but they just wanted like a cool, like LA scene Ken. And so in the movie, he has on a chain that says Barbie on it, but the actual doll had a cock ring, and they didn't know it was a cock ring when they made it. And so that's why he was discontinued, because on his necklace was a cock ring on it. And so...
Was it a pearl necklace with a cock ring? Because that's a double whammy.
It wasn't a pearl, but it was a necklace with a cock ring on it. And when they realized that he had already been put out, so then they discontinued him. And in the movie, at the end, when they show him, they show a full body picture and he doesn't have the cock ring on, but the headshot of it does, but they cut the necklace off so you can't see it.
Oh, I'm obsessed. That's so fucking funny. I also just looked it up, and there is a website called Mattel Creations, which I don't know if this is real, like if it's actually Mattel or if it is Mattel Creations.
It looks like it's actually Mattel.
Yeah. So they have, they, you can buy Sugar Daddy Ken doll in pastel suit with dog from Barbie the movie. Oh, and it's just, they're so feeding funny into
it. I love it. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That does remind me that I do want to give one more shout out before we go on to reading other people's hot takes, which is congratulations to Michael Cera for booking a job and performing a role that is now the second time that I have found you. This is your role of a century. I used to think Juno was like, that was Michael, like that was the best of the best. And Michael Cera's depiction of Alan, and Alan as a concept, and finding out that Alan was a real doll and Alan as a character, was so fucking good in the movie. And I remember when the cast list came out, I was like, Michael Cera? Like, what is Michael? Michael Cera to me seems like someone who would like make fun of the Barbie movie and be like, this is silly. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry I doubted you, Michael. May I call you Mike? Mikey? Mikey, you crushed it. Like, it was so fucking funny. And I loved everything about it. Like, I loved everything about it. The casting, I think, was just perfect. Like, there's no mm-hmm. one that I have to be like, oof, because again, I think everyone was so well casted.
Yeah. And as I said, when we did the Fisting Friday episode, that we had to turn around real quick. I take back everything I said about Mr. Gosling being cast as Ken. He was perfect. And we couldn't talk about it at the time, but He and Simu Lee were perfectly cast. And
they could not have played each other's roles. It would have not been authentic nor real.
No. And this was the creme de la creme.
So authentic and real. They did what they needed to do and they exceeded my expectations. So mm-hmm. we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me. So then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying, it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you. And listed it as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said, part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about the return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait, and we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com, and you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. Back from the break, and now we're getting to But Are You Wrong, which is you sending in your hot takes, lukewarm takes, thoughts and feelings about the movie, and we will discuss. First up, women who claim they hated Barbie make me uncomfy. None of them ever have a reason for it. It's always just vibes. Even if it was purely a vibes movie, let women have some pink gingham. I also love the maybe it's Barbie and it's Ken. Neither of them needed each other to be their own toy slash human slash person figure. So for the first part, I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, I think that if you've ever seen those like astrology memes, that it's like it'll be like a Leo and then a fully mature, real self-realized Leo who's done all of the emotional labor and work. And it's like showing like the different possibilities of like who you are, like the toxic things you do and then the mature, evolved things that you do. This reminds me of that, of like women who like really hated this movie. I'm like, don't write it off. Watch it in a couple of years. Like, see mm-hmm. what this is there, because like, I think at any time that I would watch it, I would have a different feeling about it. And I think even men who watch it will feel different. Like, it will have it, like, Moth was like, this was like really good, but like, he's not going to get it the same way. And I think like, as women, we go, well, by default, I'm a woman, so therefore I'm going to get it the same way. And it's like, no, that's the best part about it is different of any age that you watch it, and where different spots in your life, things are going to hit you differently.
Yeah, I mean, even just watching it a couple months after I watched it initially, there are so many things that I understood more. And I think that no matter how many times you watch this movie, you're going to pull things out of it that you didn't the first time or the second time or the third time that you saw it. Like, yeah. Even like my nieces seeing it at 9 years old, I feel like when they're 16 and they watch it, it's going to be different. When they're 22 and they watch it, it's going to be different. When they're 30, they watch it, it's going to be different.
Well, I think it's kind of going to be like Barbie, in the sense that if you watch it when you're 9 or 10, you love it. And then you get to like 15, 16, you're like, I'm way too cool for this fucking mm-hmm. movie. And then you're going to like love it again when you're at college and you're lonely in your dorm and you're like, oh, wow. And then, you know, I think it'll go through that kind of like, it'll mirror the reception and like how we tie Barbie to like girlhood and womanhood and all of that, which I think is cool. And I also mm-hmm. think that like, again, I agree, even if it was just vibes and just eye candy, we deserve eye candy. Like, that's one of the reasons
right.
I get really annoyed when people like talk shit on Sofia Coppola movies and just say that they're just like pretty images and stills. And I'm like, first of all, that's really hard, where anytime you pause a movie, it should look like it's a fucking like masterpiece. Like, that's very hard to do. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of planning that goes into that. But like, women have to be pretty in order to be heard. And so like, therefore, if something is purely just pretty, like, pay attention more and like listen closer, because the reason that we have to go above and beyond doing that is to be taken serious, like to do other avenues. So like, if it's something is that gorgeous and well put together, it's because you had to put a bow on it. You had to do that right. to show it this way. And people watch fucking multiple seasons of Riverdale for the exact same reason, for just the ice cream cotton candy pretty color schemes. But that is how I got Mats's dad like actually sold him wanting to watch it, because he loves all those old movies. And I was telling him how most of the things were practical, and how the sky, and it was all like references to like Singing in the Rain and like Gene Kelly things, where they really made it that like old school fantastical old movie kind of way, which mm-hmm. also gorgeous.
Right. And they, like, during production, Greta was like, I need more money. And they're like, here you go. She spent like twice as much as what her budget was during the movie.
They ran out of that shade of pink.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, there was a shortage of pink paint. And they spent so long trying to get that, like the right shades and all of that. And it's just, I also loved how many, and all the behind the scenes things, how many fucking women are on that set. And as someone who has produced a movie and like made sure that the majority of above the line and below the line were women, it is a whole different fucking experience of like making a project. And then you have Ryan Gosling and all of the men talking about how, and even Michael Cera was like, how much better of an experience it was making this movie, that they're like, I want to work with female directors most of the time now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just better. And it's true. It's fully true.
So good. Someone said, after everything that happens, Barbie apologizes to Ken and he doesn't apologize back. True to life, but didn't make it easier to deal with.
That was like I think that's the biggest critique that people have of the movie, is that there was too much Ken. Barbie apologized to Ken at the end. And that was the most real part of like the whole thing.
Yeah, like that was something that I immediately noticed. And I was like, because that's what happened.
And I noticed myself clocking, like getting annoyed with how much screen time Ken was having. And then immediately it was like that fire in my stomach and then like being put out by ice cold. And I was like, oh, there you go. This is this is common. This is what I know why now. Mm-hmm. And that was one that, like, because Ken is so fucking oblivious to it and then is like, I need more, like, I'm not getting any of this. And it's like, you actually can't even see, because from your inherent born privilege, you don't even know what you are. You don't even know how much you're already benefiting from this. You already don't know how much you're centered in all of this. Like, we can only know because we're not in that. And it's like, oh, good God. Like, fucking hell.
Uh-huh. There's a reason why it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And even in the aspect of like, well, the Ken's like, because someone at the end was like, oh, they want like a quality or whatever. And I was like, well, no, this is just, that's the bare minimum of what you can have. Like, that's just like, that's the only thing we're being, like, that's the most realistic thing we're already being denied. And like, that's the offer here. But also like the fact that Barbie had to have a man and have a Ken. Like, clearly Barbie doesn't give a shit about this, but like, they're keeping him around. No one's buying, people aren't really buying Ken. Like, it's one of those things that it's like, Ken, if Ken was performing the way a Barbie performed, like, would have been dropped off the shelves already. But it's like, no, we have to have that, because it is just like a societal expectation of this. And like, her disinterest in this, it's not cruel. It is just like the realistic aspect of, regardless if you want a man there, a man's going to be centered in it. Even in this perfect world, because this perfect world was also created by men, which was like the really great, we're not created is upheld by men in this.
Upheld.
Which I was like, oh, great fucking commentary. But yeah, I mean, I would love a perfect movie that has absolutely no meaning at all, where it's just all the Barbies and just like, they're just having fun. And like, I don't need anything bad to happen. I don't need any plot. Like, I just need, it's just like a live stream of the Barbies, just like having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm also okay with that.
I'm okay with that too, but. Then we wouldn't have, the movie wouldn't have the meat.
Yeah. America Ferrera's monologue about women isn't groundbreaking. It's stuff we already know. Exactly.
That's the point. Immediately after that, she says, and this is a quote from a movie, giving voice to the cognitive dissonance, you rob it of its power. Like, that's why, like, we know this. And so, like, that helped snap the Nobel Peace Barbie out of her fog, because you said it, like, it was something that she knew in her head, but she said it, so then it snapped her out of it. And so, like, it was something that, if this is something that that society as a whole truly believed, not just like these are things we know, but actually believed, then we wouldn't live in this patriarchy that we live in.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's what we take away and understand as people over the age of like 25. But like, when you're younger, there are young people who are going to hear that. And it is a privilege to watch that and see that and go, I've already unpacked all of that and I already know that. But like, that is unfortunately a privilege. Like, depending on where you grow up, like, yes, it is about how much your brain is developed, but also like, depending on the area and the community that you're in, like, there's a lot of women who like don't snap out of that. They don't wake up from that. Like, they're still in that. So hearing that is kind of a, oh, wow, I've never had this conversation with anyone before, or I've never thought these thoughts, or I've never put this two and two together, that these things are a result of the patriarchy and that these things are happening to not just me and this isn't a me problem. And the same thing that happens like to younger people. So like that's one of the takeaways I think will be an introduction to the patriarchy and feminism in like a very underhanded way to a lot of young people, where they can get away with watching this and taking that in to people who, the way that she phrased the monologue, if you understand all of this and you are progressive and feminist in your views, it is a stating that. But if you're not, it is also said in a way that is not a feminist dog whistle, in the sense of like people aren't, it's not going to turn away the people to go, well, now I'm immediately out. There's no mansplaining. Like it's not like there's trigger words or those things. Like it's really crafted in a way that has a big, deeper meaning to unpack the more educated and the more understanding you are on the whole concept. But it's also a great introductory opening into this world, into this dialogue and discourse for people of all backgrounds and even men. Like, I think that's also a very fucking important thing for men to hear.
Yeah. And then also after she said it, then Sasha like gives props to Stereotypical Barbie for like basically restating what Gloria had just said and calls her White Savior Barbie.
Best line of the movie.
Yeah. And then Stereotypical Barbie immediately goes, no, it's your mom, and recognizes like this woman of color said this. Like it's layered as of things that do happen in society where, and also like having Sasha say that as a younger generation is also the voice to what you were just saying too.
Yeah. And I think like everything in this movie is under the lens of women don't get to direct movies. And women don't get to direct movies for women. And the people who are greenlighting all this and saying, oh, giving okays and stuff like are men, who's like capitalism. So like Greta Gerwig has to write it in a way that it is palatable for an audience who might be not receptive to this. And also knowing that that audience is the people who have to approve this as well. So like she's writing it in a covert kind of walk wraparound sort of way that feels very digestible at first glance. And like the first time you hear it and watch it, which I think was cool. Cause like, I mean, they built it up in press where people were saying that like America was saying that she, when she got the script and that she had to do this, she was like, fuck, like this is a very heavy, like weighted moment of the movie. And she also like, I think she had said she had a little bit of hesitancy about Barbie as a whole, cause she didn't feel represented by Barbies growing up. And so this role for her was like, this was very important that it addressed that she was was paying homage and doing a service to younger her too. People are saying like, oh yeah, that they like cry, like even Ryan Gosling, like it was like really impactful for all of that and like the crew members and like all of that. And it's because even at the most surface basic level in taking that, like it's a lot, and then everyone's going to interpret that and feel that differently, but it all in so all still the same in a relatable sense. So I think there's no better way she could have written it. Like, I think if you hear Greta Gerwig talk about things, like she will say things like she will expand on it in a much deeper, more PhD level. But this showed how great of a writer that she is.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Me too.
And I fucking love America Ferrera. Like, I love her so much. I think of all when the cast came out, I was like, cool, stoked. Swipe, swipe, swipe. America Ferrera, I'm like, my ass is in the fucking goddamn seat. Like, she's my girl.
I've always thought America Ferrera was great, but I don't think I had ever seen her anything.
Si Se Puede? You've never seen?
No. I was older when that came out. And like, she's a couple years older than me, but like, I wasn't really watching Disney Channel at that time anymore. And so, like, I had never really seen her anything. And then after I saw this movie, I immediately went home and started watching Ugly Betty.
She goes, where can I see the most episodes of America Ferrera? She goes, Ugly Betty. My ass is there.
And I did. And I finished it up a couple weeks ago. And phenomenal. Like, she's so good.
She's phenomenal.
I've always known that, but I never actually saw her anything.
Yeah, you were like, no, I know you're great. But I don't even need to see your work to know you're great.
I've always been a fan of hers, but for what? Existing.
And it doesn't matter. And it doesn't.
Being the America I serve.
Yeah. Truly being like, I pledge allegiance to America Ferrera.
Mm-hmm.
Standing or sitting. Whatever she wants to do, I'm pledging my allegiance.
Yes.
another one we'll have to do is Sister of the Traveling Pants. She is, well, because she plays, this is like, you'll see even in Gotta Kick It Up too, but really specifically in Sister of the Traveling Pants, like this is the role that she plays. Like this is like, she is, there is a feel like everyone else has that same feeling that you do, that like you fucking trust her and you love her, even if you haven't seen her or anything. So they're like, okay, we're going to give you this. So then the audience is like, okay, yeah. Like you all just think that you're her best friend. And she's so fucking good in that movie too. And it's like, I think it's the best character of that book and the movie. And she fucking crushed it. And now I have to watch Ugly Betty.
You do. Like, truly, it's a great show.
I love it.
Every character, hilarious. Like, it is so good. I immediately went and found the screenplays and read those too. So good.
I'm down.
All right. And then someone said, lukewarm take, there should have been a more prominent Barbie song seen as Ken had the epic lengthy song, which was absolutely iconic.
I truly think the only reason why they didn't do that is because I don't think Margot Robbie can sing.
That's what I was going to say. Margot Robbie can't. I don't think she can sing. And also, it was supposed to be like cringy, and we don't want Barbie to be cringy. Like, there's not a cringy thing with Barbie. Also, he's singing this in a battle with other Kens. It's not like he's like singing it to someone else. He's like, I have to be the best of the best among who? Kens? Why? Because you're a stereotypical Ken that just beaches. And yeah, I just think that she wanted a dance and song with
Mickey Mouse Club Extraordinaire.
Yeah. And we got the Lizzo song at the beginning, we got two different versions. It's just she's not singing it. Margot's not singing it. We get a lot of songs that are Barbie-centric, but it's just like Barbies aren't singing it.
I wish, because I agree with this in the sense that like I do wish we had like, because like when I think of the Barbie song, it is Ken. It's not like any of the other ones, because I also think the soundtrack stands alone. I'm not going to fucking put on I'm Just Ken. Like, wonderfully composed, but like, I'm not just going to play it in my car.
But I will listen to every other song. That's
exactly. But I would have loved, whether for the Lizzo song or Dua Lipa, if they did because they did the dance to the Dua Lipa song. I would have loved if they did a full music video and all of the Barbies lip synced it as if like they were Dua Lipa. Like, I would have loved something like that. Like, I because I love a fucking old, give me a dance fucking music video. I want to see, put them in the cheese grater and make them dance. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see belly rings. I want to see titties shaken. I want to see like True Religion little shorts. Like, I want to see music video. And if you're not going to get like, or put them on a seamless background, do something like that. So I would have loved that, and like a longer dance that included that whole dance sequence version in a music video, because I would have loved that. I think that would have really, but maybe it's the Lizzo of it all is why that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think, someone said, I was going to ask you if you know what this means. Barbie hot take. I personally think they should have used the 2005 Pride and Prejudice. I think it's a superior one, but would love to know what you think. Was there a reference to Pride and Prejudice in it?
Oh, I can't remember if it was this or something else I was watching. They do use, yes, they use a clip of Pride and Prejudice, but I think the reason they used it is because that British version of Pride and Prejudice, I don't know what the 2005 version is, but I think the one that you're referencing, Greta Gerwig is obsessed with British TV. And a lot of the actors that are in this movie are British TV actors.
Literally like 95 fucking percent of them. I thought it was shot in the UK and then it was Australia. And I was like, so why are there so many British people in this? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, Greta Gerwig just loves the Brits.
Okay. Yes. And so I don't know if the 2005 version was.
It is.
UK. Okay. Well, they used a clip from that dude from Succession. They used his version of it. And
no,
so
that's the 2005 one.
Oh, then that's what they used. So I don't
know. It
has
my doppelganger. Rosamund Pike's in that. It's the Keira Knightley one, right?
I've never seen it, but I did see him in it. And I know that why people love his character on Succession is because of that.
Makes more sense because, first of all, if you throw mutton chops on a man, I can't tell who that is. Like, that man is a completely different person. Like, I genuinely, like, I don't know who you are. Like, yeah. I could see you walking down the street and I wouldn't know a thing just from the mutton chops. Like, it transforms you. And this is not to say to bring mutton chops back. Actually, I would really love if we kept mutton chops away. But, like, I didn't even realize until maybe last month that is the same man. Mutton chops make the man.
So, I don't know. They did use a 2005 version, so I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Maybe it was just if there wasn't a Keira Knightley one. Both the men look like the other one is, what's his name? From Love Actually. Colin. Is it Colin Firth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they look, you throw mutton chops on both those men, indistinguishable. So that might have been the mix-up, that they look exactly the fucking same. Okay. Could have thought it was the other one. Well, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And we're back from our break, and it's time for our final segment, which is our wrong of the blank. And this is the, we'd like to nominate the worst of it. And so this is the worst of the week or worst of the watch movie. Barbie, would you like to go first? Who is your, what is your worst?
My worst is, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this, but Alan is a deadbeat. And you're like, why? We get Midge over there pregnant No one's talking about who she's married to and who she's pregnant by. It's Alan.
Immaculate conception. Alan doesn't have a penis.
Alan is her husband. Alan, we don't even see them interacting in the whole
movie. Alan's never fucked in his life. Alan is a virgin. Canon.
Alan is her husband. Also, Alan's supposed to be Ken's best friend. We don't get any of that.
Well, he tries.
And he also leaves. At one point, he tries to leave when Sasha and Gloria are leaving. So he was just going to leave his wife, his pregnant wife, and not do anything about this. Like, he was just going to abandon her. So, Alan, deadbeat.
Wow.
He's a deadbeat.
He's my deadbeat. Oh, that's so funny. I never even thought about that. And here's the thing. I have double standards, and I don't care. I love Alan. I love Alan so much. And Alan, you want to abandon your pregnant wife and kid? Fine. Go for it. My worst of the movie was that the movie ended. I was devastated. That is like really my like worst of thing, because anything that I had like qualms about, like when I sat with it, I was like, no, this means this and this means this and X, Y, and Z and all of that. But it was that it ended. Like, I was truly just devastated. It's like when you have, specifically when you have a really, like, you get excited when you're at the Cheesecake Factory and they're bringing over your meal and you're like, oh my God, I'm so excited to eat this. And then you finish it and you're sad. Like, you want to eat it again, but like, you're full and it's not going to be the same after the first, like, you know, once you've had like 5-6 bites of something, like, it does that novelty of it wears off and it's never going to be the first time. And so, like, I think the worst thing of this movie is that I couldn't just sit there forever and it just didn't go on forever and ever and ever. And like, I rarely feel that way about standalone movies. Like, I feel that way a lot about series. I've said this about Gilmore Girls. Like, people talk shit on the Netflix reboot of it, like, mm-hmm. the additional things. And my whole thing, I'm like, if I love something so much, I'm really good at being like, if I don't like something a minute, like, I'm just saying that never happened and like, it doesn't exist and it's not real. But like, when I love something, like, more is more. Like, I'm always gonna, whatever I get, even if it's not the greatest, it's never gonna ruin something for me. Like, I'm just gonna enjoy what I've always liked and leave the things that don't bring me joy. But rarely do I feel that way walking away from a full-length movie. Like, normally I'm like, they could have cut this, or this was like lagged a little bit, or like, it was good, but like, you know, this was one where I was like, no, Greta, more. Just give me more. I just want more.
The world of Barbie is so expansive. And I know she said that Greta's like, I don't want to do another one of these, but I'm just like, let's get Skipper in there. Let's get Teresa. Let's get
Chelsea.
Let's get Chrissy. Like, there's so many other things that can be explored, and I want to see it. I was with one of my guy friends, and he's like, I'd love to see just a Ken movie. And I said, No.
It's an antithesis.
You walked away with the wrong... He's like, I love this movie.
Sit down and watch it again.
He's like, yeah, and he's like, I want to see a Ken movie. And I was like, no.
No. Just watch La La Land. That's the Ken movie.
Yeah. Correct.
I would also, like, I would even love a President Barbie TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love that.
Yes.
Or even just shorts.
I
would too.
I like at the, near the end of the movie when President Barbie has her speech where she's coming down the stairs and she's like, motherfucker. And I was like, this is all Issa. This is Issa.
I was like, there's no way that they wrote these lines. Like, I think Greta Gerwig was like, big fan. Do what you want to do. Uh-huh. Her and Kate McKinnon. Yes. I feel like they both were just like, yes. Kate McKinnon's like, I want to be in the splits the whole time. Like, it was just like, there are some people that I'm like, you're a personality. You're a personality hire and a personality cast. And you did not probably get the same privilege as everyone else who's like, so excited to take these words written by Greta. It's like, Issa, just do you. And she goes, mm-hmm. That's what I've been doing the whole time.
Yep. Oh, so good. Because you know they were working, because she's just inserted in places. So they were just working around her schedule and just like, do what you want to do.
Literally. Literally. And they changed the whole fucking dance before. And so she had to like, yeah. That was so funny.
Chevy, congratulations on the sponsorship of a lifetime, GMC as a whole. Because they got the Chevy drop top, that the little convertible that they're in, the Corvette.
I
didn't
pay attention to, like, I wouldn't even be able to tell you what kind of car it was.
Oh, yeah. And, Gloria's car was also a Chevy. They're in Suburbans, which is a Chevy. There's Hummers. Jeep is part of the GMC group. So they're getting all the congrats. Congrats.
Wow. Look at that money.
Mm-hmm.
That's an American, right? American? American-made cars.
American-made.
American-made.
I liked when they were driving back into Barbie Land and Sasha asked, do giant hands come to play with you? And then Margo goes, no, that would be weird. As if that's the weird thing.
Yeah, like, what the hell?
And then Will Ferrell, he in his speech, he said, I got into this because of little girls and their dreams in the least creepy way possible.
It's so fucking mad. Like, it's just so funny and exactly what everybody thinks. What was your favorite outfit?
I really like the jumpers that they had on when everybody was being rescued.
Well, that's because we would wear those. Yes. Like, we would wear those regularly. I love a boy. It's a boiler shirt. I love a boiler suit.
But, like, all of it was great. All of it was great. I like the rollerblading one.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy the rollerblades.
Well, that's how I broke my tailbone. So I'm not getting back on those wheels. I don't belong on that many wheels. Four wheels, maybe two, not that many. Actually, how many are on? There's a lot on there.
Four.
It makes it worse.
When we lived in Kansas, we had a basement that wasn't finished and we just turned it into like a roller skating rink. And so we used to be down there in our rollerblades all the time.
That's like a sitcom like house thing. Like that's perfect. Like, that's not a real thing. That's fun. It's like making the bottom, so like fun. We just filled it with water and now it's a pool.
Yeah. Like we just would go down there. That was what we'd do. Go that's down there so and fun. Rollerblade.
I would have loved that. I was obsessed with the gingham dress. Like that was so fucking cute. Mm-hmm. And the cowgirl outfit, obviously. And I am.
Yes.
Obviously, the strike was the reason why I didn't dress up as Barbie. But I did feel like everyone thought everyone else was going to dress up as Barbie for Halloween. And so I saw not that many Barbies.
Nobody did it.
And I was like, God damn it. Because now I feel like, wait, if everyone's going to do it next year, or is everyone going to do the same thing? Or like, I'm going to think everyone's going to do it next year. But I also saw a tweet that really made me laugh where someone was like, how do I get my volume in my hair like this? It looks so good. And it was like a screenshot of Barbie. And I'm like, the girl is wearing four wigs.
Yeah.
That's not even one wig. That is multiple wigs. And everybody was like, and people were responding like, wigs. And the person was like, okay, cool. So what kind of wigs? And I was like, oh, I love that you were like, if I'll wear the wig if that's how I get that volume. I love the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why they should have had Trixie. Trixie knows a thing or two about wigs.
She could have helped, yeah.
About layering wigs.
Yep. Oh, also, shout out to Ruth Handler, creative Barbie. They made a joke about her at the end. It's like, I'm not perfect. I had a double mastectomy and IRS issues, which was true.
I had breast looked cancer. It up the second I left.
Yeah, and also had several investigations of producing fraudulent financial reports.
What have I said? We need more women in crime. It's an underrepresented area.
Yeah. She lived till she was 85.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything else? You think we're good?
We're good.
I could talk about this movie forever.
I could too.
I'm so glad everyone else was like so excited about this. Like we got so many messages, people being like, oh my God, I'm so happy we can talk about this. Like I love this. And this is like one of those movies that like the discourse will be infinite. And just kudos to Greta Gerwig because obviously she didn't originate Barbie, but she wrote this script and this.
And I'm so glad the other one didn't happen for multiple reasons.
This Lady Bird, which I don't love Lady Bird because like fuck Sacramento, but that's literally the entire point of the movie. I'm sure I could watch it again and enjoy it a bit more. It was just a little too close to home, literally and figuratively. And then, but her rendition of Little Women is like, it was the one rendition of Little Women that like actually made me, no offense, care about Little Women besides the book. Like I just really didn't like the movies about it. And the book, I was like, okay, like the book is like fine, but it didn't hit me at all. And like her rendition of this, I was like, oh, your work will be continued to be talked about in like the, even like your picking of actors and the people you want to work with and like how you do all of this. Like, yeah, it's their. I love women directors. I love women directors. And I'm so happy that this set the tone, hopefully, that women directors, there should be more and they should be paid. So I think we're going to get a lot better movies moving forward. I think it was a really great step.
Do I need to watch Lady Bird now? I mean, not Lady Bird. I've seen Lady Bird. Little Women.
So I'll tell you offline why you'll like. So I, okay. From a writing perspective, yeah. And I'll explain to you why later.
Because when I was a child, and I think I've talked about this before, whenever there was a rainy day and we watched movies in when I was in second or third grade, they made us watch that one Little Women movie.
It was your Gandhi.
And I had to watch it all the time. And I hated that fucking movie because of that. And so it's just burnt me on Little Women.
Fair, fair. I feel the same way about Gandhi. But Gandhi also sucked.
But not sucking was this movie. And I watch it over and over again.
Me too. It's great. I love it. And it will change the way that I live my life. This is like my personality now. And you said that. You're like, this movie's about to become our entire personality.
Yes.
And when I left the theater, I said, you are right. This is my personality. Yep. And you're like, I'm so glad you can join me because my personality's been here.
Don't be surprised when you just see me wearing Barbie costumes as just an outfit.
Yeah. They're just outfits.
They're just outfits.
They're just outfits. But it's not just outfits.
Mm-hmm. It's life. Barbie is life.
Barbie is life. So on that note, we hope you all enjoyed. If you have other requests of content you would like us to do for What Am I Watching, you can slide into our DMs, our ones of the podcast account or our personal ones. Let us know. It can be episodes of TV shows, usually pilots. It's like that, unless it's something that's like very much a one-off, or movies or anything. It can be old, new, but something that you think would be a fun discussion. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed. Stay pink. Stay gorgeous.
Bye, Barbie.
Bye, Barbie.
We'll circle back.
But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.